Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a fantastic Friday. Lots of news as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely great. And I wish everybody a blessed Christmas season and Happy New Year to you guys. And I'm just so blessed to be here and talking to you. But we need to pray real quick right now before we do anything else. Cody Snodgrass, the man who was on with Hagman on Monday night for 2 hours, the former CIA operative who was offered $1 million to blow up the Murrow building in Oklahoma City and was also involved in a lot of other things as far as black ops with the CIA, who wrote a book telling everybody what he had done and who he was involved with, who was also on with Dave Hodges on Sunday night for 2 hours. So if you can watch, if you can listen to either one of those broadcasts with Cody Snodgrass with Dave Hodges on Sunday and with Doug Hagman on Monday, you really need to hear what this guy has to say. He's corroborated a lot of the stuff that I've told you guys over the years, and he was involved in a near-fatal accident last night. We don't know what happened. Doug's still trying to do the research on this, so hopefully we're hoping this is fake news. This is one time I hope it's fake news, and we'll let you know for sure on Tuesday when we come back live with you guys. We'll have a really good show for you on Monday. We'll probably pick one of the top archive shows that we have for Christmas Day if you guys want to listen to us on Christmas, but it will be a rerun. But I just hope that, I hope and I pray that this information that we've gotten on Cody Snodgrass is incorrect. But he really called out the deep state, called out the names of the people he worked for, called out all of this information as a corroborative testimony. And what does that mean? It means he has firsthand account of what happened. If you go into a court of law and someone tells you they saw something, you can't testify to what they saw because that's inadmissible because it's hearsay. You can't do that. That's why the talk show guests who aren't involved in what's really happened can't be first-hand information. It's inadmissible testimony. If I was subpoenaed and someone said, you heard this from Dave Hodges, what did Dave Hodges say? The defense attorney would automatically say, hearsay, inadmissible. Strike this from the record or don't even let him say it. This is the difference between first-hand corroboration and hearsay. When Cody Snodgrass was offered $1 million to blow up the Murrow building in Oklahoma City and he turned it down, he can testify against the person who actually offered him that money as firsthand evidence in a court of law and actually point the finger at the person. Now, the person may deny it. That's okay. But he could testify against it and have it put into the records. He called out, I bet he had 50 names that he called out on the interview with Hodges on Sunday night and talked about all of the different operations that he was involved in. He went back. He talked about Vietnam War. He talked about the Kennedy assassination. He talked about 9/11. He talked about all of it in detail, and he named dates, the names, the people, the places of who were involved in it. And guys, if he has direct knowledge of this type of information, he was involved in the covert ops that he was involved in, and it can be tracked back to him as an independent contractor. He was actually put into prison for various and nefarious reasons for basically them setting him up for several years in a federal penitentiary. So if they've already put him in jail, and he's now talking and telling the truth and has written a book, it's really, really important that we pray for him. So we're going to pray right now. Father, right now, number one, Lord, I hope this isn't true. That's number one. You only knew if it's true, and I were doing the research on it right now. But if it is true, Father, if Cody's still alive, I ask that you just allow your Holy Spirit to come upon him and protect him and give him a full recovery, Lord. Allow him to continue to be bold and proclaim the truth of what he knows and what he's seen, Lord. And allow him to continue to expose the deep state, Father. Right now, I plead the blood of Christ over him, Lord, and I put a hedge of thorns around him. I station angels around him, Lord, because this is a spiritual battle we're in, and I pray for his protection, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, guys, I needed to do that because I just found this information out, like, I think Austin and I just heard about 25 minutes ago, and so I don't have any way to verify if it's true or not, but I needed to bring it to your attention in case it was. You guys could pray with me on this, and that you'd understand how important it is before these archives get pulled down. He was on with Jeff Rentz last week on the Rentz Network. He was on with Hodges on Monday or Sunday night and on with Hagman on Monday night. So he's making all the rounds, and I think he was already on Caravan to Midnight too. So he has really put a big footprint out. And John, the producer for the Hagman show, really did some background checking on him to make sure he was who he said he was. And he said he tested clear on every single thing they tested on to make sure he was the real deal. Because a lot of these guys that come out here and they tell you they were in the CIA, The CIA doesn't tell you who's in the CIA. You can't call up the CIA and say that John Smith worked for you. They don't do that. So they can make any claim they want as a CIA operative, and they may have never worked for the CIA, and there's no way to verify it, and there's no way to tell the truth from the lie. Even when a CIA operative is killed in the field, they don't even put their name on the wall at the CIA headquarters in Langley. They put a star up there for them, but they don't even have a name underneath it because they don't want them to know they were even in the CIA after they're dead. So it's one of those things that when these guys actually do come forward and they're black ops or they're basically independent contractors, which is what this guy was or claimed to be, they don't want him talking. They don't want him running his mouth. So I told Sharon Austin, I said, on Sunday, he did a show with Hodges, and I was called up on Monday. I actually got several emails from some multiple listeners that said, have you heard Dave Hodges' show last night? Terrence is one of the guys who called in on it. And I said, I have not. And I said, I will listen to it right now. And I started listening it to Austin. I mean, I'm busy. I'm like you. I'm busy all day. And I stopped my entire day on Monday morning, and for two solid hours, I listened to this show nonstop, no breaks. And I thought, wow, okay, this is crazy, but I believe everything the guy's saying because it was all lining up with everything we've already taught you guys. So if you get a chance, please listen to those archives where they suddenly disappear. What's your first story, Oz?
Yeah, that is pretty wild. I haven't even got a chance to listen to the show yet. I'm definitely going to have to listen to it. I've been meaning to all week. But, yeah, I mean, you can see a perfect example of that, like you said, as far as the CIA and how covert they are in that movie American Made with Barry Seal. It was Tom Cruise, about the CIA operative that basically ends up running dope and guns and everything else. And this is exactly what they don't want, stuff getting out like that. If you watch the movie, he's making all these videotapes and documenting everything after everything basically happened. And once he gets killed, he gets assassinated, his whole trunk's full of videotapes, and as soon as essentially the CIA guys get there, they try to seize all of the tapes because they don't want this stuff getting leaked out. That's just, it's as easy as it is. But also, too, in other news, whole other topic that's going on in the United States as well, though. I heard about this on Monday, and I wanted to verify it. I saw Dave Hodges wrote some stuff about it, but I really wanted to do some research because I'm still really concerned about what's going on up in Chicago with the Cook County Commissioner, Richard Boykin, basically blatantly asking the UN to bring troops in for peacekeeping operations in the United States in Chicago. The biggest thing that is everybody has to understand is this is complete and total ruse to get the UN on U.S. soil operating in some type of police manner. We have the National Guard, we have local police, we have county sheriffs, we have SWAT teams on both of those, we have highway patrol, we have all types of different elements of police. We have ATF, we have FBI, we have DEA, we have all types of factions of essentially police forces that could be used outside of their normal duty to help get Chicago back under control as far as the crime and the shootings that's going on right now. But they don't want that. They want the UN to come in there. And now, a couple days after Richard Boykin came out and basically said that he wants the UN to come in, you know, there was a report that came in from the intel hub Shepard Abelles, who said there were around 50 heavily armored United Nations vehicles and various pieces of equipment, fuel tankers, generators, stuff like that, small enough for to support a small company on the back deck of a rear parking lot of a supposedly U.S. government-owned warehouse in Maryland. And he said the vehicles were all painted white and bear the UN letters on the side. According to MapQuest, though, the address that was given out where they're at is not a U.S. government-owned warehouse. It is a Kellogg Company owned grocery store, which is even kind of odder. But however, the photos have shown up now, and it looks like you can verify these at the 11841 Newgate Boulevard in Maryland. And that Matt DuBell came on the beginning of the week and reported to InfoWars that he's basically a station manager at Chicago radio station, and he said he's driving around on trailers, being trailered areas, said he's being transferred on train and railroad as well. So it looks to me as if they're really getting these guys pre-positioned to let them loose on Chicago. Once you have the Cook County Commissioner coming out and blatantly making obvious that he's saying we're requesting the UN to come in and do this, they're letting you know what they're about to do. We've seen the UN vehicles for years now getting transported around. Nobody knew what was going on. on, where they were being taken. We've never really seen them driving around at all, and now we have pretty much confirmation that there's a lot of them stationed up there. So this is something we're going to have to continue to watch and monitor, and I really hope this is not allowed to have happen, but this is going to be one of the biggest aspects for them to try to get their foot in the door. And of course, what they'll do is they'll end up getting probably some type of progress. They'll get the violence calmed down for the time being, and then they're going to hail the UN as the best peacekeepers the world has ever seen, and they need to be brought in for any type of other issues that arise in the United States, and then it's going to escalate from there as getting their foot in the door. But I just want to kind of touch base on that. So I had a few people ask me about those vehicles and what was going on Monday and Tuesday, and I want to do a little bit more research, but from what I'm seeing now, yes, they do have a very small company of UN troop vehicles up there, but I cannot personally verify that still. That's just from what people I've talked to, and also from the Google images and the photos people have been sending in, Dan.
Wow, I don't even know how to approach this. I'm glad that Hillary Clinton is not president.
Yes.
I can say that very blatantly here. I mean, if the witch of Benghazi was in right now, she would welcome UN intervention to help bring in her New World Order, which she and the Bushes and the Nazi cartel that's been running Washington, D.C. since the early 80s would be so willing to do. The problem is that Donald Trump is in. Now, Donald Trump, this is interesting. You know, the United Nations had tried to do a big veto vote on moving the embassy of the United States into basically Palestine or Jerusalem. And basically the United States and both President Trump are refusing to acknowledge that the United Nations has any authority to tell them where they can put an United States embassy. So I don't know if Trump's playing three-dimensional chess here and he wanted to discredit the United Nations with this whole thing with Israel and Palestine and using that as a springboard to basically cause dissent among the United States and the UN to prevent them from coming in now to the United States and occupying part of the U.S. I know that the government of the state of Chicago cannot do this from a legal standpoint and put foreign troops on our soil. They can't do that from a constitutional standpoint by their own. They can't do this. Now, even if they ask for help, they can't do it because they're not sovereign. They haven't left the United States. They're still under the guise of the Constitution of the Republic, what's left of it. So it'll be interesting to see, Austin, if these guys actually get away with this or if this is going to just be more and more obfuscation of what's going on, because we know these NATO troops and these NATO vehicles have been all over the United States. We know that already.
Oh, yeah.
And I just hope and pray that, you know, Trump is who he says he is and will prevent this stuff from getting and being basically dispatched, you know, all over the place. I mean, this will be a nightmare. By the way, this is from the Daily Mail. It says, the AI brain chips that are now being produced that will soon be in many, many humans will evolve humanity into a community of zombies who are indistinguishable from robots, expert claims. Those implementing and implanting microchip computers into their brain risk merging with machines like the Borg. Brain implants could mean the machines start to take over and to initiate and imitate human traits. This could mean humans and androids become indistinguishable, expert claims. It was recently revealed that a tech company backed by Elon Musk is developing a brain-computer interface. It hasn't developed a brain-computer interface anytime lately. It developed it long ago with DARPA, and now it's being put out into the civilian communities. Guys, these brain plants, what they're trying to do, here's the big lie. Remember, Lucifer, who got in the big fight with God, got cast out of heaven, is angry because God created us in his image and we have a soul. He hates us. Not only does he hate us, he's jealous of us. He wants to be us. That's just how this thing works with him. And what he's trying to do now is back what he already did in Genesis chapter 6, when every thought of every man was evil all the time. Now, one of the things they're doing for this is transhumanism, and they're making us think that we're going to be better humans by having brain interface implants, which will allow us to be controlled like robots, and will also allow us to have vastly superior intellectual capacity as far as processing information that they give us and they can program us. Now, that's the goal they have, is transhumanism or transcendence into a machine to pass into another world and transfer your soul or your consciousness into a robot species or a robot itself. Now, the robots that are developing now, especially in the, how should I say this, the pleasure robots, the female pleasure robots that are developing, they look real. I mean, it's ridiculous how they look now. And there, this is a huge boom on the internet. They're already starting to interface these things and have them talk to you. And this is what they're trying to do with humanity. It won't make you a greater human. It will make you a subhuman. Let me say that again. It won't make you better. It'll make you less. Because I'm sure by doing this, you're accepting the mark of the beast if you allow them to do this to you and to change your DNA to accept these types of implants. Guys, it's so important that we stay frosty in all of this and we understand, like this article says, it says it'll be almost impossible to distinguish a human from a robot. I mean, they've got the technology right now, and what they're rolling out for us right now is just a smidgen of the advancements they've already established and produced. This is exactly what happened with Roswell. If you read Colonel Corso's book, The Day After Roswell, when they found that these ships, these spaceships, had laser technology, and that these ships had, you know, computed circuit boards and the laser, and they had the night vision technology, they took that technology, they broke it down, they gave it over to the civilian sector in order to produce it, to mass produce it. This is where Bill Gates got all this information and was able to do all the stuff that he did. I'm quite confident, and I believe this, and I'm going on the record, this is my opinion, that he was given this type of technology and the ability through the Rothschild banking cartel to market it and develop it, and that's how he started Microsoft. If you think a couple of these computer guys were sitting around in the basement somewhere in their garage and they started Microsoft and they didn't have the funding and the backing and the literally the massive advancement of a computer chip and all the things they have with the original computers that came out with Bill Gates, we're all whistling in the cemetery. That's what they had. And they have this set into the civilian sector. And once the civilian sector starts doing it and marketing it, we see it with these pleasure robots they have out there now. They exceed unbelievably quickly because human ingenuity comes out, says we can make this bigger, better, faster, all the stuff they do. And this is what's going on right now. This technological explosion that we have where knowledge is increasing exponentially in these latter days, it's because of what happened in 1947. I read you that whole thing the other day. You need to listen to the show. 1947. It's in the archives. That's just, it listed like this. 1947, a year that will go down in infamy. That's when this deep state sent the giant octopus squid through the federal banking cartels around the entire planet and enveloped it through the black ops. This is what's going on right now, and one of their final end games they're trying to play with all of us is to have us meld with machines. I'll discuss this more tonight on the Hagman Show. I'll be on with Doug and Joe from 7 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. Austin will be on from 9 to 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And Sharon will be on from 9:30 to 10, talking about holiday recipes and a bunch of other things at the final half of the last half hour of the show. So guys, stay tuned tonight. And also, I'm sure we're going to have a huge update on Cody Snodgrass now, whether or not Doug can get more information on him and talk to his friends and the private investigators on where this accident took place, et cetera, et cetera. Austin, what do you think about these nanochips in the brains and all the people talking about it now?
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to give everybody a heads up on now, why I've brought a lot of these articles up over the last couple months, because this is accelerating much faster than we anticipated. We've seen a lot of this technology kind of start to come to the surface and get brought out in the mainstream, and now it's like almost literally every month something else they're starting to basically divulge to us about this technology. They can control this. The one aspect I talked about last week where they have the chips now that they said they can basically implant them to shock you back into a better mood if you're having issues with depression and stuff like that. This is all what it's about, and it's the same things you said with the sex dolls, all this stuff, and in an article that I talked about with a doctor on Tuesday who said blatantly that they're going to figure out, they've already know how to do it, they're working on it, on how to basically have a cyborg machine basically carry a baby, and this will be literally a hybrid, human hybrid machine. This is bizarre stuff. You know, this is the stuff that we saw back in the 80s and 90s in sci-fi films that we go, that'll never happen. I mean, you got movies like Alien where they have, you know, the one guy on there that's basically an android the whole time. He looks like them. You know, everybody's kind of like, okay, that's cool. That's science fiction, blah, blah, blah. And it's actually becoming real now. But the thing is, it's not just for the movies anymore. Now it's actually something that they're really trying to push to get the entire population completely accepting of this. I mean, think about why we've seen this whole digital currency push so hard. I understand the blockchain technology, all that stuff, the basically completely independent from the banks. I got that. That's cool. That's one of the only cool aspects of it, actually, to me. Everything else just screams New World Order, cyborg, AI, everything. Because think about it. Once it starts going to this route and they start meshing us with machines and they start trying to get people to literally marry machines, what they're already trying to do now, people aren't going to be using cash. They're going to want everybody to transition over to this cashless society. And it'll be a very, very easy transition if they can get everybody accepting of this cashless stuff. But as I've told you guys before, which I'm sure most of you guys already saw, Bitcoin dropped like $9,000 this week. It's dropped below $11,000 today. It was like 10.5, and then it popped back up a little bit when it hit its peak, I think, on Monday, when it hit like 19.5. This whole thing is a giant bubble, and that's why I said you need to be very, very careful making any decisions like this with any significant amount of money, because there is no infrastructure, there is no material, there is no inventory, there is nothing. When they came out at the beginning of the week and they said Bitcoin is worth more than Walmart, I literally couldn't do anything but hysterically laugh. Anybody knows anything about business fundamentals, every aspect of finance, you understand that that was one of the most idiotic things you could possibly do, is come out and say digital currency that has zero infrastructure, zero backing, zero real true wealth, zero inventory, zero property, zero assets is now worth more than the multi-hundred-billion-dollar Walmart across the entire United States. This is what's going on right now. We're in another massive bubble. Point proven, because somebody asked me about this the other day for numbers on it when I was talking about the housing market. This is on Yahoo.com. So for everybody that doesn't think we're in a housing boom right now, you can go look at this article on Yahoo. I don't even like a lot of their stuff, but they're blatantly saying right now, the first sentence, new U.S. home sales saw their largest monthly increase in more than 25 years in November. The increase pushed the number of volume of sales to a fresh 10-year record, putting the pace at its fastest since before the U.S. housing crisis erupted. Sales of new homes soared almost 20% compared to October, the largest monthly increase since January 1992 and the fastest sales pace since July 2007. This is what's going on right now. They're trying to prep the entire economy and get the bubble as big as possible and get as many people wrapped up in these unbelievably high mortgages in these houses that aren't worth this stuff, get everybody's money sucked up in Bitcoin, get everybody to sell their precious metals, which you guys saw that 2 weeks ago. I mean, they just started hammering metals. They started dropping through the floor. Even platinum was the lowest it had been essentially since 2008. And they're trying to get everybody's wealth wrapped up in all this finance, all the stocks, all the Bitcoin. So when they click the reset, nobody is going to have any choice but to accept the digital currency. Nobody's going to have cash or silver or gold or any significant assets. It's all going to be finance, or it's all going to be pixie dust money like in Bitcoin and the stock. And all of a sudden it drops down. As you saw, Bitcoin literally almost lost half of its value in 1 week. And I'm sure it's probably going to go back up. You're going to invest. Investors dump more money back into it. The Fed will probably start shoveling more money back into it from all their quantitative easing, and it'll go back up. This shows you right here how volatile and unstable and unreliable this entire market is. So be very, very careful. Everybody is going on right now. If you're going to be doing stuff, buy stuff that's going to benefit you, your family. Make sure you're staying healthy, keeping your supplements on hand, keeping ammunition, keeping guns, keeping water, keeping stuff on hand. Physical assets that you can benefit from, that you can have in your hand. I can't stress that enough right now, because the globalists are doing everything they can to push us into this cashless digital society. And you got to understand, if your computer goes down or you lose power, your multi-millionaire Bitcoin portfolio online is worth every bit of $0. We had a hurricane and we lost power down here in Florida, some people for 2 weeks. That Bitcoin would have helped you $0. Zero. Nothing. Kaput. Was worthless. Go cold, if you had ammo, if you had water, if you had a generator. Fuel ran up so high down here, it's ridiculous. People were sitting in line for hours just to get fuel. And fuel's never usually an issue in Florida. That's what happens when there's a crisis, and that will happen so fast as soon as the market, they want to pull the rug out from underneath everybody. Look how fast it degraded in Atlanta Airport on Sunday. Within hours, people were looting and rioting through all the stores in the airport and stealing as much stuff they could. Within a few hours of the power going out in Atlanta. So you guys think when the power goes out or the EBT stop or the stock market completely blows out or they declare that all this stuff is completely forfeit now, do you really think everybody's just going to handle this because they have no assets, nothing hard, no tangible, because it's all wrapped up in the stuff. This is what they're trying to get everybody wrapped up into. So please be aware of this. Use wisdom. Pray before you start making decisions on these huge, huge purchases, especially with stuff we have no tangible asset. At least with a house, even though it may be massively overvalued, you still have a house. With a vehicle, you still have a vehicle. When you start shoveling money into the stocks right now and the bonds and the Bitcoin, you have absolutely nothing if this stuff falls out there. So that's the end of my rant right now. I just had to bring that up again because I'm getting so many people asking me about it, and this is just one of those times right now when we really need to sit back and watch. If you're going to do anything, in my opinion, what I would do is buy some precious metals and sit on those and make sure you take care of that as far as your assets and your health. Those two are the most important things, along with your family and your relationship with God. Stay out of this funny money pixie stuff right now. As you guys saw today, it can evaporate so fast and blink of an eye. So it happened so fast. Coinbase shut down trading today at 11 o'clock this morning. Shut down Bitcoin trading. Coinbase, like the biggest wallet in the entire U.S., shut it down because it started falling so fast. That shows you right there how volatile and unreal this market is, Dad.
Well, there's only a certain amount of people that are willing to put money into something like this. There's only a certain amount of people who want to finance their homes, et cetera. I mean, think about this for a second. Finance their homes, put the money back into Bitcoin. I mean, gold spiked today. Bitcoin, what probably happened, Austin, somebody started massively liquidating Bitcoin portfolios yesterday and last night and this morning and turned around and put the money into gold. Gold spiked.
Yep.
So they're probably moving it into real currency, real money right now, and that's why it's going up so much on gold, guys. Bitcoin's it's just gambling. And what you're doing is you're allowing somebody else to bring you into a rigged game. It's a rigged game, and that's why I haven't even gotten back into the stock market again after 2008. I had enough of losing a third of my life savings in the stock market in a period of a couple of weeks. I mean, it was a nightmare. And I told the guys, I'm out. I'm done. I'm too close to 60 in retirement to be dealing with all this crazy nonsense. By the way, Revelation 13:17. And the second beast required all people, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark of the beast on their right hand or on their forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of its name. Here is a call for wisdom. It's warning you. Let the one who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and that number is 666. That's why when you see these Hollywood stars who have given themselves over to Kabbalah, okay, this ancient Jewish mysticism of worshiping angels, and they give you that okay sign, and they put their pinky, their ring finger, their middle finger out to form three sixes. That's the symbol of these guys when they're doing this. It's 666. They're worshiping the beast. And that's what they do when they show you the okay sign with their three fingers up in the air. This is what they do. This is what they communicate all these secret symbols and symbology with. But look at that. It forms a perfect 666. And guys, it's something you need to be aware of. And you need to avoid, because it says, if you take this beast, if you take this mark, that's it. You're done. So guys, it's so important that you don't allow your pastor, if he's a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it boy, or he's uneducated in these types of things, to convince you that taking the mark of the beast, or taking a computer chip, or changing your DNA, or doing any of that stuff is okay. Because guys, it is not okay. But I want to read you Revelation 13:17 today, guys. Because so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark of the beast, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. Guys, look it up in the Word. The Word's always right. It's like a template, a foreshadowing, warning us of the things to come and of these end of days that we find ourselves in. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And see, that's why it's so important, because a lot of people go, well, you know, I don't want to have to be, you know, I'm not worried about this or I'm not worried about that. It's not being worried, guys. It's about being wise. It's about being prudent. Here's the thing. If you sit there and go, well, it doesn't really affect me right now, I'm not going to do that. Well, what are you going to do if you don't have any type of backup means to buy, sell, provide for your family, if you've got everything wrapped up in digital assets and they say, your account's seized. It's done. It's seized right now until we have to verify all this. We got to get you a mark. We got to make sure it's secure. Once we do that, you're good to go. That's why everybody that I know that has been extremely wealthy and is extremely wise in a lot of this stuff has always said they've used precious metals as currency for thousands of years, completely untold. There's been no change. It's always been used. So there's a reason why you say that, because it's always as a backup. So, yeah, absolutely. Also, in other news, too, this is kind of weird but sad but true. This is going on. We see this all over the place. They've even done this in the United States now, too, in some cases. A German school now is relocating their entire Christmas party after a Muslim student complained, a single complaint from one Muslim student. The school located in Lemberg announced that it would relocate the entire event out of consideration for those of other faiths. They said attendance of the party, which had previously been mandatory for both students and teachers, will now be totally voluntary. The decision was made after a single Muslim student complained about the singing of Christmas carols because they were not compatible with her religion. This serves as yet another reminder of how Europe's Christian heritage is being slowly eroded as the continent undergoes an influx of huge Muslim migrants. Also, too, a Christmas tree in the Italian city of Bolzano was recently removed from the town hall after there were fears from complaints that they said it was hurting the feelings and offending Muslims. This is nauseating to me, the fact that these guys are willing to completely compromise their entire background, their entire religion, because one or two or three or four, whatever, it doesn't even matter how many it is. I could care less how many Muslims complain about singing Christmas carols. If I want to sing them, I'll sing them wherever I want to sing them. If they don't like it, guess what? They can go back to their country. Imagine that. It's a hard concept for everybody. If you don't like it here, go back to where you came from since it's so good. Are allowing this to go on, and they're putting up with this nonsense because one single student complained and said Christmas carols basically offended her because she was Muslim. They moved the entire Christmas party to an entire other subsection so she didn't have to be burdened with hearing Christmas carols, Dad. That boggles my mind, but again, it shows you how we're sitting there and submitting to Islam just as they want us to do over there in Europe right now. It's very quite sad, actually.
Well, it's just political correctness run amok in Germany because of all the brainwashing that's happened from the Nazis. That's just what it is. I mean, they've been basically told they were second class citizens and they don't deserve to have anything they have, and that they need to be giving all their stuff to other people. And they're running this giant, huge, you know, they're exporting so much more stuff than they're importing. They have this giant surplus every year, and the globalists have to find a way to destroy Germany. They can't allow the German country to be that strong, but the people over there are so politically correct it nauseates me. I mean, I would say in German, was ist verkehrt mit meinen deutschen Freunden? What is wrong with my German friends? Was ist verkehrt mit meinen deutschen Freunden? That's what I would say in German to them. I'd say, what is wrong with you people? Why are you doing this? Why do you feel it's okay? Why do you think you could go ahead and just take and completely just shut down your entire Christian heritage because one Muslim child complains? This exact same nonsense that I told you guys about when we had our children in a place called All Saints, elementary and high school here in Central Florida, number one prep school in the area, supposedly, and they were putting Happy Holidays on the signs, and they said they had a Muslim student and a Jewish student, so they couldn't put Merry Christmas on the sign. Remember, this guy's over 1,000 students in the school. They got one Jew, one Muslim. They say, we can't put Merry Christmas. It may offend them. So then we had to sing a bunch of Happy Hanukkah stuff. We had to sing a bunch of stuff about Kwanzaa, something about African Christmas. And I don't make this stuff up. The kids had to learn about Kwanzaa and sing Kwanzaa songs. They had to do Hanukkah songs because there was one Jew and one Muslim in the school. And I said, guys, we're a Christian school. I said, I don't really have a problem with, you know, with Muslims or Jewish people coming to our school. I could care less. I said, nor would I have a problem with Christians going to a synagogue school. I have no problem with that either if they want to do that. But the synagogue's not going to change their entire belief structure, or the Muslims aren't going to change their entire belief structure because there's a Christian running around. They're not going to do that. So we can't allow ourselves to fall down that slippery slope. It's so important we don't do that. This is an interesting article. This lady worked for an abortion clinic, and she was a former Planned Parenthood abortion clinic manager. And she said, quote, "It is a demonic organization. The longer Ramona Trevino worked at Planned Parenthood, the more trouble her conscience became. She finally initially justified her job by reasoning that she worked at one of the Planned Parenthood non-abortion facilities, but she eventually quit when it became apparent that her employer was hurting women more than helping them. I knew I was doing wrong," Trevino said in an interview with the Daily Caller News Foundation. "I was still involved in a demonic organization. There's no other word you can use for what takes place." Guys, there have been numerous accounts of people who have worked at these types of abortion clinics who say that they are a satanic sacrifice to an unknown god or to Lucifer or to Baal or to Moloch, and that's how they do this in these clinics. This is a lot of these people. Now, I'm not saying that everybody works in an abortion clinic is a Satan worshiper. I'm not saying that. Some people may just need the money and they don't understand what's really going on there. What I am saying is this. When this lady finally woke up and saw what was going on, she said, "It is a demonic organization," and I've done entire shows with this on Hagman, and entire segments on Hagman about this. And guys, it's not what you think it is with these rituals, these ritualistic abortions, and the things they do with these young children. Because remember, whenever they kill that child, that soul's in that baby. And that baby releases that soul. And they're trying to harvest the energy from these souls. I mean, this is some sick stuff, so I don't want to get into it on the show today. We don't have time, but I don't even like talking about it. But guys, at least we have people coming forward and telling the truth of what these places really are. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's why I've brought it up so many times in the past, and it always still boggled my mind when I first saw the undercover videos that the journalists did. They went undercover and talked to these Planned Parenthood people that basically were running them and how they sold the body parts and all this stuff. And then those guys basically get indicted and get federal charges and get felony charges put on them, because they essentially recorded this without their knowledge and just totally bogus felony charges on the guys that recorded it. And just absolutely nothing to see here. Don't worry about Planned Parenthood selling abortion boarded parts. Don't worry about that. There's nothing to see here. It's no big deal. That's nothing. Just these guys did it illegally. You know, they had fake press badges, and they didn't disclose that. We're putting felony charges on them. That's it. It boggles my mind, and that's what continues to go on in these places. And you're exactly right, Dad. I think she's pretty accurate. I mean, this is what we've seen now with the level of abortions that's exploded over the last about, 50 years now is when they really started allowing this, in the 60s, wasn't it?
Yes, with Roe v. Wade. By the way, Chrome now, one of the big search engines with Google, is going to block ads starting in February if the sites don't basically comply to what they want the sites to do and what they're advertising about. Google yesterday announced that it will start blocking ads in its Chrome browser on February the 15th. Websites that want to avoid the Chrome hammer can either shed several broad categories of online ads, like not promote alternative media or pay a consortium of advertising trade associations and technology companies, including Google, Microsoft, and Facebook, to become certified. We're going to protect you. We're going to certify you. Guys, we told you this was going to happen. This is what's going to go on. They've already defunded a whole bunch of ads that are being done by Hodges and Hagman. They basically yanked my entire YouTube channel down with, you know, what we were doing with this show. So I said, pound salt, I wouldn't even bother with it anymore. Apologize to you guys who were watching it, because I know you enjoyed listening to it on your YouTube. But guys, I'm not going to be forced to comply with their wishes. I simply won't do it, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, this is what I was afraid of with the whole net neutrality thing. There was so much shady stuff about all that on both ends of it. I didn't know where to go with it. And now that we see a lot of this, they have to control the internet, the globalists do. They have to figure out how to do it, because there's too much true news, too much alternative media going out for them to be able to get everybody under their mind control techniques. I mean, you do the research now, you start talking to people, a lot of people don't watch the news anymore. They don't watch CNN, they don't watch the TV news, because everybody's realizing it's all bogus. when you see something happen. It was a perfect example, like you talked about the other day, Dad. You know, when they bring in this expert 30 minutes after the Twin Towers fall. Oh, I'm an expert in this, and the fire from the heat, because it had X amount of jet fuel in there, it actually melted the I-beams and collapsed the whole building, blah, 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 blah. They go, well, the building, I don't even know how many people are dead. Well, that's exactly what happened. If you disagree with that, then you're basically a blithering moron. You can't disagree with me on that, because I'm the professional, I'm the expert, I'm the one on TV. Don't argue with me, little one. That's what's happening. Delphi, exactly what we talked about before. That is what they've done for so many years on the mainstream media now, to the point most people, even if they're not completely awake, they still realize there's not anything but garbage on there. It's usually just stupid stuff that they have nothing else to do or talk about, so they come up with garbage on it. Well, all the real, true, relevant stuff gets totally buried under the rug, and they never even take a word about it. Don't take a second to mention it on mainstream media, and people are done with it. So they've gone to the internet, which is what all this stuff is now with the podcast. This is where everything's going here, because it's independent. It's uncontrolled. There's no way for them to sit there and be able to keep people from having access to all this stuff, except if they can start controlling the internet. And that's exactly what they want to start doing. They've been trying to do this for years, and now they're going to pick and choose little things. It'll be very minor at first, like we see this with Google Chrome, little stuff here and there, and it's going to escalate more and more and more, to the point where they'll start charging you more. You'll start having packages to be able to access certain aspects of the internet. You'll be spending more money than if you don't do it, and it's more money to get the faster package now. So most people, it's not going to be cost effective anymore. That's the overall goal, because they don't want this type of news, this type of media, this type of health research, the stuff about the vaccines, the stuff about glyphosate, the stuff about the big pharma, the opiate epidemic, Afghanistan heroin, all this stuff. They don't want anybody talking about it, man. They do not want anybody bringing this up, and they definitely don't want it spreading so fast online like it can do now. So we just have to be strong. We have to keep pushing. We have to keep doing whatever we can to get this information out and wake up as many people. And that's pretty much the best thing we can do right now, Dad.
Absolutely. In fact, this blowback from Weinstein keeps continuing in Hollywood. Now they're trying to blackball Matt Damon, which I like Matt Damon. He's pretty much a family guy with a bunch of kids. And they're also saying that Meryl Streep, who I can't stand, though she's an incredible actress, I'll give her that, but she is so far liberal. You guys, if you knew her true values, you would never watch another Meryl Streep movie. I will never, ever pay to watch another Meryl Streep movie. Now they're saying that she basically, her entire brand, the Meryl Streep brand, whatever that's supposed to mean, is basically under risk now and under threat because of the continued denials over what she did with Weinstein and covering for him. So guys, it's one of those things. This whole thing is starting to shake out pretty good with Hollywood, and these guys are finally beginning to realize a bunch of sickos they really are. By the way, Canada is completely obsessed with Islamophobia. The current government seems not to believe that the Islamic terrorism is in Canada even exists. The RCMP guy, which is one of their guides, is premised on the belief that radicalization occurs because of perceptions of injustice. Meanwhile, the war on free speech in Canada grinds on. Remember, the Queen controls Canada. And while worried about graffiti, the Canadian authorities appear far less concerned about deterring Canadian from preaching jihad against Jews and against Christians. Guys, Canada has gone over to the dark side. This place has just gotten to be a big mess up there. If you live in Canada, I apologize for you, but you need to get rid of that prime minister. But of course, the Queen controls it, so she'll do whatever she wants to do. So what an absolute mess we've got going on in Canada. Austin, what do you think?
It is. I mean, what he did up there a couple weeks ago, apologizing and crying and weeping to also to the whole
transgender
LGBT community, transgender community. It was embarrassing to even see that and read about it. I was like, is this grown man really apologizing for something that not even really didn't even happen that significantly 50, 60 years ago? I mean, it's like every time everybody turns around, they want to say, well, there's like 6 million people died in the Holocaust. It was the worst death experience of anything in the entire world history. And I'm like, does nobody ever realize what Stalin did to his own Russian people? Does nobody ever talk about any of these other incidents? It's like, and I'm not picking on the Jews or Israel or any of that. It's just always kind of, it always troubles me because, as we've said before, World War II is essentially a footnote to the Holocaust now. It's all anybody ever wants to talk about, or one of their family members, or dads, or brothers, or uncles, or grandparents was in a concentration camp. And I'm like, golly, even for only 6 million people, which I don't even believe that number's accurate, because even Steven Spielberg came out and said it was like 1.5 million. If there's 6 million people, why is it like every single Jewish person you run into had family members that were in a concentration camp? I mean, doesn't it start to get to a point where you're like, were there really that many people there? Is there really that many people related to one another? I don't buy it. It just continues to go on with a lot of these lies, and this is what we continue to see. And the same things I go back to with the media. They're the ones that write the narrative. They're the ones that write the history books, just like they've done with the Civil War now. Now they're trying to take all these monuments up there. They're selling the property now, saying you can do whatever you want with the monuments. They're trying to completely erase Civil War from the history, from the minds, from the tongues of the American population, so that we never talk about that again. This is what the agenda is. That's why this whole younger generation I'm talking about before, with this, the textbooks that they have now, the schooling that they have, the Common Core, they're doing everything they can to completely and totally obliterate the truth from reaching this younger generation. That's why it's so important. If your kids, if they have to be in public school because you can't afford it, I understand a lot of times that happens, but it's got to be your responsibility to educate them on what the truth is when they come home from school, because the school's not going to do it. You already know the state, all they're going to do is teach them lies. So you have to teach them the truth. If you don't have the ability to have them in a private school or a Christian school or homeschooling them, you have to go out of your way to teach them the truth, because if we don't do that, this next 15, 20, 25-year generation, they're not going to know anything about anything related to anything. I mean that sincerely. They're just going to be walking zombies that are ready to take a chip in the mark of the beast and have Bitcoin uploaded into their brain and watch virtual reality movies on their goggles all day long and do absolutely nothing productive. That's going to be the next generation. That is not what I want to have. That is not what I'm going to raise with my family, with Hunter and this next little girl that we're about to have in a couple weeks. That is not where we're going, and everybody has to start getting that same resolve, because too many people are allowing the media and Hollywood and YouTube and the music industry and the school system to completely raise and dictate what your kids are going to think, do, and how they're going to act in the future. And that is not the way it can be done anymore. We may have been able to do that back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. That is not the way you can do it now and have a next generation that's going to come out unbelievably strong and aggressive and stand for Christian constitutional rights, Dad. It is not going to happen if we don't do something about it.
Well, I agree with you, Austin. In fact, people don't understand, you know, Stalin killed anywhere from 50 to 100 million of his own people. I mean, you know, and Lenin.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a great slaughter. But the reason we don't talk about that is because he was our ally in World War II. I mean, we don't talk about what happened to the German women with the Russian soldiers coming in and cutting the nipples off their breasts and not allowing them to suckle their babies, and their babies all dying. We don't talk about the tens of millions of people that were women that were raped in Germany after World War II, and the Allies allowed it. We don't talk about the over 1 million soldiers that Eisenhower, German soldiers that Eisenhower allowed to starve to death. We don't talk about any of that because, number one, is whoever controls the media talks about whatever they want to talk about. To the victors, go the revisionists and the history books. We've always got to understand that, guys. You know, it's not what you think it is. All those poor people in Russia got killed after the Civil War over there, the Bolshevik Revolution. And then we've talked about this stuff over and over and over again, and what happened with Stalin and Lenin and all these guys. I mean, this is a bloodbath in Europe. I mean, we're talking 100 million dead. Minimum, probably more than that with World War I and World War II. In fact, it had to be more than that with the Bolshevik Revolution. But we don't understand that we have to take and look at all of these different genocidal things that happened, and we have to analyze, hey, exactly what did happen here? What did happen there? What's the proof? What's the research? It's so important. By the way, many of you now, I got to say this, I don't like doing this, but I got to say it. Many of you at the end of the year who are Christians like to donate money to TV ministries, etc., as part of a tax deduction for yourself and to lower your own tax liability with the IRS. Now, I have no problem with that whatsoever if you're giving money away. But a top TV evangelist basically is now having his church sued for $3 million. I'm not going to mention his name. Okay, he's out of Ohio. He's being sued for $3 million. He's defaulted on a loan taken out by this church's broadcasting network, and he has drained another woman's life savings. The suit says that this company loaned him $3.6 million in January 2013, which used the money to pay back a mortgage, and not one single payment has been paid back to the church. from the church to this other loan. And the lawsuit states the loan was supposed to be paid back for from February 2013 to 2017, never paid back any of it. And he's also, the same church is accused of coercing an elderly woman in suburban Chicago, suburban Chicago, to hand over her life savings with the amount of $340,000. And this lady's like 76 years old, and she's lived by herself since her husband died in 2015. She's childless. Now she's living in horrible conditions, and now the relatives are basically having to help her because she gave all of her money away. Guys, it's so important that you understand that when you give money to a TV evangelist, that they're not going to give it back to you. I got to make a point here that you got to understand. You can't say, I made a mistake, I'm broke, I need cash back. They're not going to do it. In fact, most churches can't do it because most of the money that's being spent by the churches is continuing to go through cash flow, and they don't have a large amount of savings in cash in the church, except some of the major TV ministries who have ridiculous amounts of cash, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. But they continue to ask for more and more money from people. So you've got to be very, very careful. I'm going to say this again, and I got it. So I'm going to say it very clearly. Support your local churches. Support your local ministers. Support your local groups that you know, if you call them because you need to have somebody preach a funeral for you or for one of your family members, they're actually going to show up. Try your best to avoid sending money to TV evangelists. Guys, I've done a lot of work with these guys. I've been on a lot of their shows. I have met them personally. I have spoken with them. And a lot of them, all they care about is money. They don't care about how many people they help. I had one just the other day. I was talking to one the other day that I know, that I've known for many years, and how he's going to be opening up multi-site facilities so he can get his offering base up to $150 million a year. That's what he told me. He never said one word about saving more souls, helping more people, becoming a better servant to the community. It was about getting his offering base up to $150 million a year. Guys, this is the mindset a lot of these guys that are involved in this, and it's so important that you understand that you need to support your local church. I can't say any more than that, but guys, it's so important over the holiday seasons, especially when the churches are out there and they're feeding the homeless and they're providing meals for people. Those are the people you need to really take care of and support. And if you're in a church that's on TV and they do all that also, that's fine. That's great. But guys, just think about it. Make sure you're going to church, that you're in attendance at that facility, you're going there on a regular basis if you're going to be giving money to them. So what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right, especially with a lot of the kids, you know, that don't ever get anything for Christmas, that are in all types of situations, family situations that are rough. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I like to do, and helping families out that need help, or helping them with food, or helping even them with supplements. I mean, we've done that before, too. We've given the family, you know, supplements. Okay, you know, here's some Ultimate Multiple. Here's for these guys, and stuff where we personally know families here locally, and we can verify what's going on, and we say, hey, you guys need help. That's what we're here to do. Let us help you out. The problem is, and this is the biggest issue, when you're dealing with something like a TV evangelistic or in other aspects of it, there can be different options. But when you're giving money away to somebody that's in a completely different state that you don't see, that you don't talk to personally, that you don't hang out with on a regular basis, that you don't know their lifestyle, you don't know what they're doing with the money, and you're sitting there and just shoveling cash to them as fast as you can because you feel like that's what's going to make you blessed, the problem is you don't really know if you're when God talks about the parable as far as sowing what you reap and planting different seeds on, you know, thorns, on rocks, on good soil. In my opinion, He's expecting you, when he tells that parable, for you to use wisdom on where you're planting the seed. If you sit there and go, well, I'm giving it to a TV evangelist, I don't need to know what it's going to, I don't know where the money's going to, I don't know if they're helping anybody at all, but just because I'm giving them the money, that means I'm planting good seed, and it's obviously going to come back to me, and I'm going to have reapings because it's going to be great because I'm doing this right now. I don't buy that, guys, because you're not necessarily planting good seed. If the money is going to pay for their G650 payment or pay for their 8th house in the Hamptons or whatever other thing they're frivolously burning away money on, you're not planting good seed. You're just giving money away to an organization that is literally urinating the money away that you're giving them. When you're directly helping somebody out that you personally know or a local church and they're giving money away and you see what they're doing and who they're helping and how it's directly impacting other people's lives in a positive manner, That's planting good seed, in my opinion, especially when you're giving donations and stuff like that this time of the year, Dad. So I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of times these online pastors really, really beg and push for huge donations online and on TV during this time of the year. And in my opinion, if you can't personally verify where this stuff is going and you don't know where it's getting pushed to and you don't know what it's actually funding, I would not personally give them a single penny, but that's just my opinion.
In other words, if the books aren't open, don't bother with it. In other words, if you can't see where the money is being distributed to and what the salaries and what the expenses are, you probably don't need to do it. And I know you have to give them, you have to give as given unto the Lord. I got that. But it's like Austin said earlier, you've got to make sure you can verify it. Because guys, I'm not going to talk about some of these guys that I know. I'm not going to say that because it's not what you think it is in many cases out there. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you too. I just want you to know that, you know, at Health Masters, you know, we just are here for you. I pray for you guys literally every day. And I want you to know that I ask that God continues to bless you and guide you and just let his little face shine upon you and give you mercy and give you peace and give you blessings. I just pray that for you every single day when we pray with the family in the morning, because it just means so much to me that you guys have been here for us for the past 37 years. And it humbles me is what it does. It humbles me that we have friends like you listening every day. It humbles me that, you know, we get the incredible emails that we get all the time and all the feedback we get. Guys, I want you to know something. From the bottom of my heart, I love you guys. And if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be on the radio right now. I'd be retired somewhere, chilling out. But I'm here, and I'm going to continue to be here to help you, to allow you to be blessed, to find out what the real news is, to find out what the latest health research is, and do all I can for you guys. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. You know, we have chewable, we have powder. I use the powder, and we also have the swallowable, the pills, the capsules. So guys, thank you. Just getting your multiple vitamins from us has made such a huge difference in covering the cost of the show. I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. Have a merry, blessed Christmas. And we'll have a good show for you on Monday, and we'll be back here live on Tuesday. Austin, I'll do the write up. You go ahead and close, and we'll talk to you guys on Tuesday again. Again, thank you. God bless.
Absolutely. And also, too, Dad and I will be on Hagman tonight. We're getting prepped for that. He's going to go get prepped for that right now. So all of our listeners that just listen to our show, yes, we appreciate the support. Thank you for everything. And we really, really pray that you guys have an awesome, blessed Christmas. And the Hagman show should be good tonight. We're definitely getting some interesting stuff to talk about as well, as always. Lots of stuff going on. So we appreciate the support, guys. And be sure, if you guys want to pick it up right now, the product of the week, we had a little glitch on the Excellent C. If you guys saw that, it wasn't applying the correct price. We got that under control. That was a little issue this afternoon. So it is on sale. The Excellent C is the product of the week. That's our buffered vitamin C. It's on sale for over 10% off right now, which is a pretty good price considering how strong that formula is. Very, very good bioavailable vitamin C. Your body literally just eats up. It's great for it. Really good for the immune system. So be sure to check that out and any of the other coupons or any of the other kits that have the specials on them. So we appreciate the support, guys. Let us know if you need anything. Email us or call us. And you guys have a blessed, awesome Christmas. We'll talk to you again tonight, and we'll be back on Tuesday as always.